This meeting is now being recorded.
All right, so the meeting has been recorded. We are starting our TICBAC meeting of May 23rd at 3 o'clock. Welcome, everybody. I appreciate this is an off-cycle conference call for the sole purpose of discussing BCPs, that is budget change proposal priorities from the members of TICBAC. We essentially have two groups of BCPs. We'll talk about the TICBAC particular BCPs and then those other BCPs that are not generating from TICBAC. So before we get into that, Brandy, could you take roll?
Sure thing. Judge Conklin?
Yes.
Judge Barton? Judge Blum? Judge Brazil?
Here.
Judge Cope? Judge Earl? Judge Herman? Judge Heinrichs?
Here.
Judge Johnson?
Here.
Judge Kaufman?
Here.
Judge Maragonda? Judge McCabe?
Here.
Judge Sanders? Ms. Carter? Mr. Chatters?
I'm here, and I do have Ms. Carter's written proxy.
Thank you, Jim.
If the chair allows.
Ms. Fleming?
Here.
Mr. Hamrick?
Here.
Mr. Harrigan?
Here.
Mr. Lewis?
Here.
Mr. Planet?
Here.
Mr. Roddy?
Here.
Ms. Romero-Soles?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Ms. Ugrin Capobianco?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Here.
And advisory members, Ms. Patel, Ms. Tidwell, Mr. Wardlaw, and Mr. Theodorovich. Okay.
Okay. And we do have both Lucy and Brandy on the call too, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Great.
This is Jeff Barton. I joined after you started taking roll.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks. Has anybody else joined the call that is not answered up on roll? Okay, I hear no calls. So, again, I'm just going through the procedures here. This is an open meeting. It is being recorded. There's members of the public presumably listening on a listen-only call line. For those of you that are on this line, you can mute it if you need to or would like, but please do not put us on hold because then we cannot conduct the meeting. So moving to our first item of business, we had our last meeting on April 23rd. The meeting minutes have been distributed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from our April 13th meeting?
So moved.
I think I heard Judge Johnson answer up first. We'll show Judge Johnson has moved. Any a second?
Yamasaki,
I heard next is second, and it's been moved and seconded that the minutes are approved. Rather than asking for a roll call vote, is there anybody that is opposed to the approval of the minutes? Hearing no opposition, the minutes are approved. Has written comment been received for this meeting?
No.
Okay, so there's no written comment for the meeting, and there are no, considering the status of this, there are no in-person public comments on the teleconference, so there's no further public comment for the meeting, which gets us right to our single discussion item, and that's prioritization of the trial court budget change proposals for the fiscal year 18-19. So I'm going to basically help everybody remember that the way the process works and has worked is we've already discussed these. They've gone to JBBC, Judicial Branch Budget, for initial review and screening. They've then sent them back to us. Essentially, the same ones that were sent are now coming back to us as the initial screening being approved and coming back to the members of this committee for discussion of whether or not we send the group in without priority or prioritize the BCPs. They were submitted in your materials. You should have them. Briefly summarizing, there's seven. The first four are court-appointed counsel, and these are not in any particular order, court-appointed counsel in juvenile dependency proceedings, in each of 25, 50, 75, and 100%. There's also a BCP funding for 10 of the 50 judgeships authorized by AB 159. The additional BCP would be stabilization of civil assessment revenue, and finally, support for trial court operations. So that's a general summary. Anything, Lucy or Brandy, that you guys wanted to add to that discussion?
Nothing from me, Judge.
Not on my end either.
Okay. So I'll open it up for discussion, and we will move to the second group of BCPs after we address these. That's found in Table 2 of your materials. But is there any initial thought or consideration of the order of these BCPs?
Judge Conklin, David here.
Go ahead.
If I may. So I think the importance of the court-appointed counsel obviously is high among everybody's list, and I don't have any thoughts about changing the order there. But one of the things that I want to just bring up was related to item number 6. Is that within this grouping?
Yes.
Okay. So the issue of civil assessment revenue is really critical to obviously the courts, and it represents a pretty significant amount of dollars for the operations of the court. And I'm wondering if we, and this is not to say that the funding for the 10 judgeships is not important, but I'm just looking at the dollar figure that we're looking at perhaps adjusting. One is, I think, $147 million. The other was closer to, at the most $15 million. And I'm wondering if that is something that the group may have some, different thoughts about, maybe just swapping places. But again, I'm speaking from just a number standpoint, not from a court that would be impacted by the additional judgeship. So I just wanted to bring that issue forward.
And I appreciate the way you phrased that, David, but I would remind everybody, the 7 BCPs that you see at Table 1 are only listed 1 through 7, but they're alphabetical. So those are not pre-numbered or predestined in priority. So considering that, David, would your suggestion still be that we take court-appointed counsel in priority order 1 through 4 and then move stabilization of civil assessment to position 5?
That would be my proposal.
All right. Any other thoughts on those or a different order of the BCPs?
So, Judge Conklin, this is Jake Chatters. I have a question for staff real quickly first. Okay. So in terms of the first 4, which all relate to dependency counsel, is it correct for us to submit 4 separate BCPs to DOF, or would it be more appropriate to submit 1? So maybe it is our first, it says it's a BCP requesting $22 million, and then in the alternative section provide alternatives, which could be higher amounts. Or is it really correct to submit 4 separate and distinct BCPs?
So let me, and I apologize for stepping on staff. Obviously, their perspective is very important. But my recollection, just to refresh, when we discussed this, and I could be wrong, was that we sent this to JBBC with the thought that they would send 1 of the 4 back to us, and they sent all 4 back to us. Now, I might be mistaken, but I thought that was where we were going. Does staff have a different perspective or other additional input on Jake's question?
It's Lucy. I would say we will be submitting 1 BCP with alternatives, yes. So ultimately the decision will be which is the most compelling BCP out of these top 4.
So this is Tanya. So we could say it's the maximum and the alternatives be lesser than?
Correct.
Or go in with a smaller one and say, well, your alternative is to fund the whole thing.
Right, and so, Tanya, with the going in with the maximum, you would have to demonstrate that you could expend those funds. If you asked for it in 1 year, whether you could feasibly implement and expend that full amount. straight away. I think some part in the past, some of the strategy has been ask for partial amounts, knowing that we're going to scale up over time.
So if we were to follow that, we would ask for 25 and then use 50, 75, and 100 as backups to 25.
Or it could be ask for 25, 25, 20, yes, ask for a four-year BCP, basically.
I see.
Well, right. There's many options.
So with that, if I can just jump in really quickly, has the executive branch been friendly to four-year commitments, or is it just one-year, year-to-year? Because obviously there's, you know, according to the governor, great uncertainty with respect to state revenues. And I wonder if, you said four-year commitment of BCPs. I like the idea of consolidating them into one, and traditionally what has happened is that they approve in whole or part of whatever the number is for that particular year. So I like the idea of consolidating it into one, and with the description of, you know, options perhaps, rolling it out in 4 years. That was just a question. What's their mood been with respect to four-year commitments?
I mean, I think you're right, David, that it's not often they're going to do that. Clearly, they've done it on more of the technology initiative because they're contingent, years two and three are contingent on the year one. But I still think it wouldn't harm us to submit a BCP of that nature, showing that we have a long-term commitment to wanting to increase funding for this program. I just think it's going to be hard for us to say we could spend $88 million in year one. But okay. I might be wrong on that.
So one thought, just to try to keep the conversation going, is have a single BCP for court-appointed counsel asking for a 25% increase in each of 4 years for the final BCP after the four-year rollout of $88,200,000.
This is Jake Chatterjee, and that makes sense to me. So that we'd be asking for the $22 million in 18-19, assuming that that doesn't somehow come to pass in the next month this year, right? So
right.
You know, we would start 25% each year going forward. That makes sense to me.
Yep. Me too.
So if the thought is to then condense those three into one BCP, does anybody, and just moving for that moment, does anybody have any perspectives or thoughts about the three remaining BCPs in order, either going above or below that in order?
So Judge, it's Jake again here. Sorry, I was trying to see if anybody else wanted to jump in. I would maybe give a slightly different take on item six with civil assessment revenue. That issue, which encompasses, as the write-up discusses, two different pieces. There's the MOE offset and then the local revenue, or quote local revenue. I tend to feel that should be our first priority in resolving that revenue source. That is transfer, essentially, of revenue from one fund to another, although it has a little bit more technical pieces to it. And so I think putting that first might also be better for us, and just in terms of a discussion piece, to say it really is a transfer of funds. It's to address some concerns that have been raised over the past couple of years. And the dependency funding is absolutely necessary, but maybe put our best foot forward on what may be the easiest to argue.
This is David. I'm going to switch gears and agree with Jake. And I guess part of the thing, too, is we had a willingness from the Department of Finance to look at remedies to, reductions in revenue, fines and fees, as well as potentially civil assessments. So it would align with the great importance of potential loss of those resources in maintaining operations. And given the fact that if we're talking about just numbers, $147 million obviously is significantly higher than those related to the court-appointed counsel. So, and the fact that that money actually is a direct hit to our ability to actually maintain services. So, if Jake is suggesting that, I certainly would second that suggestion. And then moving, that would mean that court appointed counsel will be number two, and then the discussions then can continue on to five and seven.
So two things, just procedurally. Jake, you mentioned that you had Sherry Carter's proxy. Is there anything that you would add on her behalf to either of these thoughts?
No, only that, again, assuming that in the write-up of the ultimate BCP where there's an initial ask and then sort of the what are the alternatives, that kind of the underlying assumption is that the ask would be for the $147 million, but then the alternative would be that if nothing else, at least that old historical MOE buyout number 48 million, that that at least be written into the fallback position, that in the event 447 is addressed, at least that 48.3 million that goes into the trial for trust fund needs to be addressed.
Go ahead, David, or is that David?
Yeah, that was me. Can I offer kind of a different thought on that? I certainly understand the importance of both of those areas, just the backfilling of the revenue, but also the issue of the MOEs. I think both of those issues are actually, you know, closely tied together in terms of importance, it could potentially weaken the position, in my view. And I don't know from a negotiating standpoint if that's what it comes down to, but I think both of those have equal importance. And if we were to just, you know, surgically remove one piece or give the thought that maybe we could split it up and, you know, we would be okay, I think that we would lose a little bit of ground on the importance of that, but obviously that, you know, others may feel differently, and I'll look forward to hearing what others think.
Okay. And I just want to make sure that the way this is written up, as far as the math goes, the 48.3 from the MOE is within the 147, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, good. That's what I just want to make sure that math was correct. Okay.
And isn't it's correct also that the source of the MOEs is the civil assessment money? Correct?
Jen, not sure what you mean.
Yeah, the civil assessment is what supports the commitment to pay the MOE.
Oh, correct. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I certainly don't want to stifle any discussion. I'm just trying to sort of also narrow this. Was there a motion that the first BCP priority should be number six, the stabilization of civil assessment revenue, and the second BCP priority is court-appointed counsel in the judicial dependency proceedings of 25% for each of four successive years to equal 100% of the $88.2 million. Was that a motion?
Yeah.
By Jake?
And I'll second it, David.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the first motion, moved and seconded as the first two BCP priorities, as stated. Any other, and again, inviting it and encouraging it, any other discussion on that motion?
Judge Conklin, this is Sam Hamrick. I believe, and my view is that the priority should first be trial court operations. So I would offer that as a friendly amendment to put that one as number one.
You know, this is Tanya, and although I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I think we probably all do, I think the likelihood of getting that is probably, you know, to sort of echo what Jake was saying on the other issue, is that I think we have to go in with something that's actually going to be somewhat palatable. And I'm not sure, as much as we want that, that it's got going to get any traction down there. But if somebody thinks I'm wrong, please tell me.
This is Rebecca. I tend to agree with the fact that David brought up, that there appears to be an environment that they're willing to discuss the revenue stabilization or backfill. And I think that, you know, if anything, it seems to be an indicator or, you know, an opportunity. And I would hate to see an opportunity lost when we have such, civil assessments is such a huge issue because it is so multi-layered with complication. And so I would support keeping the civil assessments as the number one.
This is Judge Heinrichs as well. I would support the civil assessments being number one. My concern about court operations is that if we were to be lucky enough to get that money, it sort of puts us in a I think it causes some internal kind of between court issues that are problematic, and I think that we should be doing a better job of how that money would be actually allocated than just kind of leaving it. And I think it's harder to justify, I mean, not justify, but it's harder to it seem as ripe and timely as a civil assessment, and I agree that we shouldn't lose an opportunity if it really is there.
Okay, so my recollection is in the past that the tact we have taken in when it comes to support for child court operations is to emphasize that, and I think in the past maybe it hasn't even been a BCP, but to say that's always been our number one priority from a trial court budget, from the trial courts and their budget, that support for trial court operations should always be the top priority. But as far as BCPs go, to give, and we've sort of been counseled by Zlatko and others in the past, that you can't shoot for the moon, that we would then start off with the stabilization of civil assessments as one and court-appointed counsel as two.
This is Liz Johnson. I agree with the chair on that point. We don't want to, I don't think, walk away from the point. We don't want to give up the point that the governor and legislature have not supported trial court operations sufficiently. But the budget change process is probably not the forum for that.
So is there any other discussion on the pending motion, again, to rank the first BCP, stabilization of civil assessment, and then the second BCP, court-appointed counsel, over a four-year term of 25% per year?
John, this is Brian McCabe.
Go ahead, Brian.
Not to complicate things, but is there any reason that 7 can't be modified down? Instead of asking for the full ball of wax, 450 to 500, reduce it down to 150 to 200?
I don't know.
Does anybody know what the restoration number is? Lucy?
Give me 1 second. Brian, did you have the breakdown of those different items described?
I have a pretty high-level one. Is Natalie on the line as well?
Yes. This is Natalie Daniel from Budget Services. So there were five components to the trial court operations request. The first was a partial backfill of the WAFM gap, and that equaled $117 million, assuming a 5% bridge. The second piece was $8.5 million to fund discretionary funding not allocated via WAFM for inflationary increases. There is a $41 million augmentation for trial court employee compensation increases. The largest component was actually due to the mandated proposition and legislation-related workload, and that was $214.4 million. And finally, the structural imbalance for TCTF, we estimated at $67.6 million.
So couldn't we, Judge McCabe, what would you think about, this is Tanya, what about structuring something in that way similar to the court-appointed counsel? So if you were looking at the gap of the 117 gap on the WAFM issue, and, you know, whichever other components would make sense, and to do them as somewhat staging in there so that, like, this would be an option, this would be an option within the same, without having the total amount, just have it broken out that way? Can we just...
This is Judge Hendricks. I support having at least an initial figure that shows WAFM being fully funded. You know, I think that we've said that, and I think that should be at least a separate number that should be the initial push, and then everything else obviously important as well. But I think if that's what we're trying to get to, that we should at least be trying to reflect that number to the legislature. So I would support breaking it up and highlighting things a little bit.
This is Tanya again. I absolutely agree with that because the WAFM and how we get there has been such a bone of contention all across everywhere that if we could solidify that component, I think we would be in far better stead.
So, this is Lucy. Just to be clear, the current proposal, and Natalie, correct me if I'm wrong, is a 5% increase on the WAFM need, right? Not full WAFM.
Yes.
Right, so the $117 million is similar to the ask from last year where we asked for a 5% increase.
Okay.
This is McCabe. From an economist standpoint, on one hand, I'll use my two hands. My one hand, the branch for the last 5 years has been advocating in Sacramento about court operations money and WAFM and the percentage, and it's gone wholly ignored. But it's remained a priority for the branch. On the other hand, we're looking for something that we can advocate as a priority that will be somewhat effective maybe a realistic chance of getting that BCP approved. So I'm just bringing up, it's really a Sophie's choice here. I mean, you got to start choosing between all these priorities, and I get it. If they would fully fund us to WAFM, and we wouldn't be arguing about anything. Everybody would have sufficient funds to deal with a number of things, and then you'd have a number of pleasant choices, but we don't, and I don't anticipate that's going to happen in the next 2 years. But I do support coming up with creative ways of addressing this. And then if the JCC wants to maintain, their priority of court operations, at least they have it broken up. Here it is. But, you know, if you're not going to deal with this in this fifth or sixth year, well, how about, the next one, which is civil assessment, and then number three and so forth. Just an idea.
So we need to be careful procedures. We already have a pending second in motion to make stabilization civil assessment number one and court-appointed counsel number two. Then there was a suggestion of a friendly amendment concerning support for trial court operations, which was not accepted as number one. One other interpretation of our discussion would be stabilization of civil assessment is one, court-appointed counsel is two, support for trial court operations is the third BCP in order. However, that would be further defined as either 5% or $117 million to fulfill the WAFM gap. And then the second portion of that would be all those other numbers combined, emphasizing again how important we think it is to address the WAFM gap, absent everything else, but still keeping that on the table, if that makes any sense. Maybe it didn't.
Well, Judge, I think practically the BCP will have to be five different options.
Okay.
So it's going to be a global BCP that will support trial court operations, but we will need to break out those five different items for the administration.
So then we would, if the support for trial court operations was number three, within that, we'd rank the five separate elements in order, with WAFM being first.
Well, you don't prioritize down that far, so it would be your number three BCP. And then in discussions with the administration, there'll be a dialogue about the relative priorities
of
those five.
Right. Okay.
And John, this is Brian, at listing the five, you never know what's going to resonate with the administration on any given year when they're going through it. At least you're breaking it down and giving them an opportunity to look at it, look at the numbers.
Right.
And so it's just here's the five within this priority. We'll take it, but here it is.
That's a good point. So, again, recognizing the time limit we're all under, is the support for trial court operations now BCP number three?
I'd say yes.
Okay, so.
How about if I make an amendment to the first motion to add that item as number three, broken out in the smorgasbord fashion?
Perfect. So there's a friendly amendment that now the third BCP in order with the support for trial court operations, and then as just described, the smorgasbord approach is the Jake, I think, made the motion, which was seconded by David. Is this friendly amendment accepted?
With a question before I answer that, I guess, procedurally.
Okay.
I guess I have some concerns with some of the wording on the five elements. So I imagine we can address that after the priority. So I'm going to assume that that's correct. The second part is the related to the propositions, the $214 million, is that appropriate to have in here in terms of that being the support for trial court operations, or is that really a BCP? And I ask that because this number gets really big, right? And so we submit a BCP for $450 million. Like, that is just a giant number. And with almost half of it being off of propositions and other legislative mandates, is it possible to list that as a completely separate one?
Yes. Yes, you could. I believe we submitted BCPs for these when the propositions passed. So absolutely, you could have separate BCPs for each of those workload impacts.
Boy, I'd support that, Jake.
So, Jake, are you then accepting that friendly amendment?
So, Josh, I don't think it's technically – I don't think Jake went down as far as priority three.
No, I'm asking Jake to add that as priority three as an amendment. But maybe with the extraction of the 214, Jake?
Correct.
Okay, I will amend my amendment as friendly as it was to include everything save the 214 for its own BCP.
And then my last question to that before accepting it is, where it says the $41 million, I would just, again, say I don't think we should be listing anything as specific to employee salaries directly, that we may be asking for $41 million for various cost increases the courts are incurring, and maybe we calculated that based on salary changes that were provided to the other branches of government. But I don't think we should be listing in our BCPs that money is going to be specifically used or with a percentage or employee COLAs. I think that that creates possible problems for us as employers, potential problems for the unions themselves. So I'm okay with the $41 million. I would just suggest we call that, cost increases and other inflation factors.
So what, Jake, if you're okay with this, what we would do on this one, because there's a separate one for inflation, is we would say employee compensation. And it could be any manner of, and I believe last year what we said, it could be salary increases, it could be benefits, it could be additional staff, but we limited it to employee compensation, not anything else.
Was that to Jake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if
you... I have to think about that for one moment, so let me...
Okay.
So, Jake, that would not necessarily bind a specific number. That's part of negotiations or discussions that have to take place.
We're not talking
about how the money would be distributed, so you can't make any presumptions about what to shoot for. In other words, as a as an employee.
But they will.
No, I get it. But unless you identify what it's for, I don't know that there's necessarily going to be a strong motivation to provide money for that. That's my concern. But I understand what Jake's getting at is you get locked in potentially. The problem is it's kind of a double-edged sword. If you're not, there seems to be some level of support for that with various lobbies. But on the other hand, we obviously have to, hash that out afterward in terms of how the money would be distributed to the different entities, and you can't make assumptions about it. But anyway, I just bring that up. Maybe I complicated things.
And this is Judge Heinrichs again. I guess that gets me back to the part of why we should be asking for a higher percentage to go into the WAFM, because theoretically the WAFM formula was created so that each individual court could do what they needed to do with their money, including compensate their employees fairly and all those other things. And so I think when we break it out in some ways that make it line items, then we get into a more sort of dangerous place. And so I don't know whether it makes more sense to try to indicate why a higher percentage of WAFM would be better, and even highlighting how courts can use it in different, more productive ways. And that may not be a good sell to the legislature, but I guess my feeling is that if we really do think that if they fully funded WAFM, we wouldn't be in this sort of knockdown, drag-out fight for most things, that we should be trying to make sure they understand that and hopefully then fund better. But, I understand the differences. But my concern is something that says as soon as we say it's identified for that, then we're going to be talking about, which courts have had the longest drought and why, and, sort of micromanage each other's budgets, which I don't think is what anyone's wanted to get into. And that's why fully funding WAFM becomes sort of the solution, because there's a mechanism that we created to fund folks. But anyway, I don't know if that makes any sense.
I think this is David. I think it does. One of the challenges that I turn back to is something that Judge McCabe mentioned, and that is the general sense in Sacramento about the WAFM formula. There's great confusion, and there's not necessarily great interest in funding it at 100% despite our best efforts of advocacy. But where we seem to be making progress is when we identify some specifics, we've seen that with technology, we've seen that with other VCPs, dependency council in some instances. And so I think that our chances are a little bit better, and I could be wrong, if we were to identify it as a specific focus for the monies to be available to provide.
Okay, so it sounds like a good discussion, but I also want to then define the discussion. This, I think, has now been placed as a number three BCP priority, with efforts to define how that BCP is presented from the branch. Do we then state the BCP at number three exactly as it is, support for trial court operations, and allow JC staff and others to then work, as Lucy suggested, work most effectively to then break out how that BCP is funded? Or do we try to at least define some of that ourselves?
I didn't hear Jake say he accepted the friendly amendment. Maybe I missed it.
No, I hadn't quite gotten there yet. You're correct.
Okay.
So,
and I would support Jake removing the 214, because I really do think that is problematic on many levels.
So I guess on this one that's hanging me up related to item, this is a third subset within item 7. I guess the way this will work is that this is where Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee is placing our priorities, and then that obviously goes to the Judicial Branch Budget Committee and Judicial Council staff to work out the final BCP and final BCP language, right?
Yeah.
So
sort of acknowledging that in this discussion, I think probably staff has heard at least the concerns we're raising, and I think other concerns have been raised. That along as we're talking about as it relates to number three, we absolutely want to be able to support our employees the best way we possibly can. And the question really is how best do we get funding to do that? And so I think I would accept the friendly amendment as Tanya laid out, which would include items 1, 2, 3, and 5 from item number 7, and then we'll pull out number 4 for a separate discussion, as long as it's clear that we're kind of conveying that item 3 is really about trying to support our employees, and how best to word that and present that likely needs to be worked out in the actual BCP drafting process.
Okay, so did I hear you say you'd accept that?
Correct.
And I do too, as the person who made the second.
Okay, so Lucy and Brandy, do you understand therefore how it's now 1, 2, and 3 have been presented?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a motion, seconded, friendly amendment approved, that the first three in order of BCPs, the number 1, stabilization of civil assessment, number 2, the 4-year rollout of court-appointed counsel, 25% a year, and number 3, support for trial court operations, removing the 214.4, and with staff being tasked to work out the final BCP language as to how to emphasize the trial court perspective that the need stated. Any further discussion on this? So now calling a vote, I'm going to start off with an optimistic approach and ask if any of those members that are on the phone, or has anybody called in since roll was taken?
Yeah, Mark Cope, I'm here.
Great. So Judge Cope is here as well and party to the discussion. So now that being moved, seconded, and no further discussion, is there anybody that is opposed to the motion? Any members on the phone opposed?
So, Conklin, this is Sam Hamrick. I oppose it.
We'll show opposition from Judge Han. Thank you, Sam. Sorry, I just made you a judge, but thank you.
Yeah.
I know it's a demotion.
Judge Johnson. This is going to be offered. If item 3 or the court operations is going to be offered as a BCP, it should be number 1.
Okay, so you're opposing the motion.
Right.
Okay, so we have 2 oppositions. Any other opposition? Okay, so I believe that would then show that everyone else present on the phone is voting aye on the motion, showing that Judge Johnson and Sam Hamrick are opposed. But I want to make sure I haven't missed any other opposition. Therefore, motion passes. So that now gets us down by definition to the only remaining BCP, which would be the funding for 10 of the 50 judgeships. Do you folks want to submit that as a 4th BCP, take it off the table? Go ahead, Lucy.
There is also now the legislative mandate for 214 as well.
Explain that.
So the 214 I'd be called out of the court operations BCP. You would need to decide whether you still want to put it forward and which priority.
Okay. Thoughts? As to whether or not the 214 should be then submitted as a standalone BCP, that should be by the fourth BCP above funding for 10 judgeships, or the funding for 10 judgeships above that, or one or neither one submitted forward.
I'd move next in line should be the 214.
All right, there's a motion that the next BCP in line should be number 4 from TICBAC be the 214.4. Is there a second on that?
Harrigan
Cheryl second. Okay, so I'm sorry, who seconded?
Harrigan.
Okay, so there's a second from Harrigan. Discussion. So the present motion has been moved and seconded is that the fourth BCP in order from TICBAC be the 214. Any further discussion on that? anybody opposed to that as the fourth BCP of those that are present on the line? I paused. I've tried to give everybody a chance. I hear no opposition. So as the chair, I'm going to deem that that is moved, seconded, and passed unanimously, that the fourth BCP in order be the 214. And then so finally, that gives us – pardon me?
This is Jake. I for Sherry's purposes, for Sherry Carter, I think she'll add – I have to abstain for her because I don't know how she would feel about that one.
Okay. Well, so Ms. – and I appreciate that, Jake. Ms. Carter is, abstains. And then finally, we have the funding for the 10 of the 50 judgeships. Do we want to include that on our BCP, which would be now number 5, or simply not send it forward? Open that up for discussion.
Judge Coughlin, this is Sam Hamrick again. I would move that this be submitted as number 5. It is vitally important, of course, to us and those of us who are very low on the totem pole with regard to number of judges. We need these judgeships. We need to keep them on the front burner. We need to make sure that there's continued dialogue about them. And so for that reason, I move to have the funding for 10 of the 50 judgeships authorized by AB 159 as the fifth.
All right. Sam's moved. Sam Harrigan has moved. Any a second on that? Hamrick, pardon me, Sam.
Second, Jeff Kings.
So who seconded that?
Jeff.
Yeah. I'm Judge Coughlin, that was Jeff Lewis, I believe. He seconded that motion.
Great. I missed that. That's very good. It broke up from my end. So moved and seconded that the funding for 10 judgeships be our next in order BCP. Open for discussion. Any opposition to the motion that that be the final BCP submitted, at least from generating from TICBAC? Any opposition to that motion? Jake, did you want to abstain for Sherry?
I think she would vote for that based on.
Okay. So hearing no opposition, and again pausing to make sure there is none and nobody has been prevented from being heard, as the chair, I'll deem that that also passes unanimously. So we now have the BCP concepts that have generated from TICBAC, and we've addressed each of those. The next table on the material is table 2, which are BCP, as noted, they're BCP concepts that are developed by other committees that came back to us from JABBC as potentially TICBAC having some type of purview or interest in them. One suggestion would simply be, the options are, option 2 is we simply submit them without any prioritization at this point, stating that we have no further input on those BCPs, either as merit or as priority. Open for discussion.
This is Liz Johnson. I was wondering if we could consider adding item L, which is the facilities operations cost, and item B, once we determine that, which is the case management system replacement, as additional BCPs using the option 2 approach.
Okay, additional BCPs from TICBAC.
Right.
We add those to our list, in other words. Good. Okay. Do you have a particular order, Judge?
Well, I think facilities operations is the most crucial from our global perspective as the budget entity for the trial courts.
So that would be the fifth on our BCP list, trial court
right.
operation, facilities operations, and the sixth would be case management system replacement?
Right.
All right.
Seven, Judge.
Yes.
Seven.
6 and 7, I apologize. 6 and 7. So, Judge Johnson, are you making that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to Judge Johnson's motion? to add those as priorities in our BCP in order number 6, facilities operations, number 7, case management.
This is David. I'll second that motion.
Okay. It's been seconded by Mr. Yamasaki. Discussion? Okay.
Could I make a friendly amendment to that and add K, statewide security systems? You know, I sit on the facilities committee, and I hear all these terrible stories about there's no funding for our security systems, and that's kind of in line with that Al.
I hadn't thought of that, but that's fine with me. What do you think, David?
I'll support that.
So that's a friendly amendment to make that BCP number 8 from TICBAC? Okay. It's moved, seconded, and the friendly amendment is accepted. Any further discussion? Is there any opposition, therefore, to the motion that looking at Table 2, Item L, Trial Court Facilities Operations, would be a tick-back submitted BCP, number 6 on our list. Item B, Case Management System Replacement, would be a tick-back generated number 7 on our BCP list, and item K, statewide security, would be a tick-back generated number 8 on our BCP list. Any opposition to that motion? Hearing no opposition, the chair will deem it passed unanimously.
And, Judge, for this section, I think Sherry Carter, I'm not sure how she would go, so abstain on the section for her.
Okay.
I'll vote for myself.
Great, Jane. So, Jake, were you abstaining as well or just abstaining on Sherry's behalf?
Just on her behalf.
Okay, so show Ms. Carter abstains. So that gives us the remaining BCPs in Table 2. Does anybody have a desire to add either A, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, or J to our tickback list? And I hear none. I don't want to cut anybody off. But assuming there is no desire or no motion to add any more BCPs to our tickback list, does anybody have a motion or suggestion as to whether or not we prioritize these remaining BCPs, or we simply inform JBBC that we are not opposing those BCP requests from the respective committees, but we are also not adding them to our own?
I would make that motion, this is David, that we support but not prioritizing.
I'll second that.
That was Tanya.
Yes, sir.
Moved and seconded all the remaining BCPs that TICBAC has reviewed, and they support each BCP as being submitted by the respective committees, but we are not suggesting any prioritization of those BCPs, nor are they being submitted as a tickback BCP.
Yes.
Any opposition to that motion? And Lucy and Brandy, does that give you what you need?
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Hearing no opposition, the chair will deem it passes unanimously. Okay, folks, I think that completes our BCP work. I know this is a very narrow focus of this call, though it took us an hour. I think we were very productive. I remind everybody that our next tickback meeting is, I want to get the date in June right. It's that Thursday in June, June 8th, and that's an in-person meeting in Sacramento. The agenda for that will be issued timely. I believe... The Funding Methodology Subcommittee meeting is this Thursday. Materials have been posted. If any of you that are participating in that have anything you want to discuss ahead of time, obviously recognizing the open meeting requirement, but any concerns of a general nature you have, be sure to let me know. Otherwise, I look forward to seeing all our TICBAC members on June 8th and the FMS members this Thursday. Again, Thursday's in Sacramento, so that meeting as well. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. Thanks, everybody, so much for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.